Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Andy Cooney. Come aboard my 16th annual cruise of Irish Stars. We're leaving for Miami on February 1st. Let's cruise the Caribbean with top Irish entertainment like Ronan Tynan, Noel V. Guinity, Paddy Noonan, Andy Cooney. Hey, that's me. Along with many more Irish stars and attractions. Call travel professionals at 1-800-724-9511 or go to cruiseofirishstars.com. That's cruiseofirishstars.com.
Threatened back in 2010, so with a renewed spirit and a lot of help from our corporate citizens and generous residents that donated dollars, nickels, and quarters at supermarkets, we're able to generate the funding necessary to continue these wonderful games.
That was Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano, who for the third time in 3 years has saved the Nassau County Empire State Games for the physically challenged. At this very moment, some wonderful people are working behind the scenes preparing for the 2014 Olympics for the physically challenged. A wonderful event featuring young athletes who push themselves to their limits to realize their potential as determined young people and to inspire us, helping us to realize that the human spirit is unshakable and that we can do anything that we put our minds to do. Please visit the Victory Challenge website of the Nassau County Empire State Games for the Physically Challenged and help save the 2014 Games now. Feel free to participate as a volunteer or to register your child for the 2014 Games. Visit the website and download the forms. Make a contribution and help with the fundraising by visiting www.nassaucountypcgames.com. Thank you.
Never too far. from my mind. You were never too far from my thoughts all the time. I traveled this wide world while you stayed behind. And though the miles in between us were many and wide, you were never too far from my mind. You were never too far from my thoughts all the time. I traveled this wide world while you stayed. And though the miles in between us were many and wide, you were never too far from my mind. You were never too far from my mind.
That was the beautiful Crystal Gayle in a duet with Andy Cooney singing You Were Never Too Far From My Mind from the CD titled The Definitive Collection by Andy Cooney, available at www.andycooney.com/discography or on iTunes. How many of you remember Robert Redford, the actor in The Great Gatsby? If you don't remember him, you've got a problem. Because nobody ever forgets the face of Robert Redford. For your information, whether he agrees with me or not, Andy Cooney reminds me of Robert Redford. He's got those boyish, charming, good looks and that amazing tenor voice. Well, you're going to hear from him in a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. Andy Cooney, direct from his sold-out appearances at Carnegie Hall with his outstanding voice and dynamic stage presence, has always been a favorite among young and old everywhere. His talent and versatility provide the ability to deliver a song directly to the hearts of his audience. Andy is surely one of the greatest singing sensations on Irish music scene today. Christened Irish America's Favorite Son by the New York Times is a title he truly deserves. Andy Cooney is also one of the New York tenors, featuring Michael Amonte and Daniel Rodriguez. They have been receiving high critical acclaim. Andy has recorded 18 albums to date, including his latest release on Irish Time. Andy Cooney is also known for his cruise of Irish stars that annually draws over 1,000 Irish Americans on a Caribbean cruise enriched with the finest Irish entertainment, including the great Ronan Tynan. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in welcoming Andy Cooney to the New York Podcasting Cafe.
Hi, Andy. Welcome to the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for being on this program. How are you today?
Carmen, it's great to be here at the Pod Cafe. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. I know you're a very, very, very busy person, and it was very hard chasing you down to get you to stop and take some time out for this interview. You have no idea how grateful I am that you're on our program.
Thank you, Carmen. Hey, listen, I'm happy if anybody wants to talk to me these days. So.
No, I'm afraid that may not be true. I've done some research, and I can prove that you're being very humble and very modest.
Oh, well, thank you.
So share with us about your childhood, your upbringing, you know, family, siblings, where you grew up and the schools you attended, and anything else you want to share with us.
Well, you know, as far as New York is concerned, you know, I grew up in an Irish-American family, and that's the great thing about New York. You know, we all come from all these different backgrounds, and our traditions are kept alive from wherever our backgrounds are from, whether they be Italian or Irish or Hungary or Puerto Rico or anything. And
right.
I was very fortunate to be raised in a family where we kept up our traditions, our ethnic traditions, that gave us great identity, and that's kind of how I got into the Irish music scene, because it was something that I grew up with. My grandfather was an Irish tenor,
mm-hmm.
and we used to hear him sing all the time at family parties, and it was something that I kind of took to at a very young age, and I have a big, big family. I'm one of 9 kids.
Wow, me too.
Really? Wow.
Yes, I'm the oldest of 9, actually.
Isn't that something? Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
I'm one of 9 kids. And my parents, both of Irish background, they grew up in Flushing, Queens, New York. And then they got married and moved out to Long Island, New York. And I was raised out here in Massapequa, Long Island.
Nice town.
I'm actually living now in Massapequa Park. What can I say? It was a nice place to grow up and had a great experience here all my growing up years. And I thought it would be great for my kids to enjoy the same thing. And they did. So I've been very, very blessed. Why go anywhere if you're happy?
Wow, exactly. I love New York myself. Can you talk about people or books you've read that have inspired you to embark on your own career?
I have to tell you, Carmen, I'm the worst reader. I am the type of person, I just cannot sit down and relax and say, okay, I'm going to relax now and read a book.
Maybe when you retire.
I was one of those people. One thing I do like to do is when we're traveling, I like downloading audiobooks.
Right.
That I really enjoy doing, you know.
Those can be fun.
But I've never really been a big book reader. But as far as my influences in music, basically it all started off with my grandfather and my mother writing me out the words to a lot of the old Irish songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took a liking to it from a young age. And I started playing in a place in New York City. My mother was a friend of the bar owner of Kennedy's on 2nd Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and in New York, 52nd and 2nd Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she must have badgered him to death till he finally gave me a shot when I was about 17 years old to play piano in his restaurant. And I ended up playing there for 2 years before I started, you know, playing with different musicians. And then
mm-hmm.
I went on the road with a gentleman named Paddy Noonan.
Right.
Who was a very well-known accordion player in the Irish music scene and had toured all over the world. So
mm-hmm.
instantly I was, you know, touring and traveling probably by the time I was about 19 years old.
Wow. And so is that why you chose this particular genre?
Oh, yeah. It definitely was what I knew, it's what I grew up with and what I just fell in love with at a very young age. You know, I just fell in love with the music. And what I love about it, it's very organic, it's very real, it's very true. You know,
mm-hmm.
A bit like country music and bluegrass. It's very,
yes.
very honest, you know.
Yes.
And that's I fell in love with it, and I'm just blessed to this day that I've stuck with it, and it's brought me many, many places.
I tell you, it is beautiful, and your renditions of some of the Irish tunes that I have heard forever, but you bring such a beauty to them that I have to say is very, very inspiring to me as a singer, not just as a fan, but as a singer.
Oh, well, thank you. No, I really appreciate that, you know, because especially with the Irish music, the one thing about, the music is very beautiful and melodic, but the lyrics are very meaningful.
Right.
So it's, you know, you can easily get lost in
exactly.
singing some of those songs.
And they seem to tell a story, a real story.
Yes, they
and
do.
And I think it doesn't matter whether you're Irish or not, if you're listening to one of the songs that you do, you get lost in it because I think everybody can identify with some of those stories.
I totally agree with you, Carmen. And when you think of, you know, even some of the successful shows over the years, some of the big, big shows that have toured around the U.S., like Riverdance,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, that took the world by storm, you know, Irish dance and also Irish song. I mean, these traditions that that the Irish have been enjoying for thousands of years, and now bringing it right into mainstream America and bringing it all over the world, and people just falling in love with it. Just there's just something about the music that you don't have to be Irish to enjoy. Like
correct.
I said, it's real, it's organic, it's honest, you know.
That is so true, because I have not been able to put down your CDs ever since I got my hands on them.
I need a million more people like you.
Well, hopefully if this podcast gets around that far, you just make it, you wish. Tony Bennett, Luciano Pavarotti, they ventured out of the classical into other genres. Would you sing any other genre, such as rap or anything like that, just for fun?
I would say as a goof, believe it or not, as a goof with our band, we've done the rap version of the old traditional Irish song, The Unicorn.
Really?
It's a real
I'd love to hear that.
But I have ventured out into country music. I was writing in Nashville back in the early 90s, of which brought me to meet a lot of great people in country music. And one person who I met down there at that time in the early 90s was Larry Gantlin.
Oh, wow.
I did some writing for his company. He had
wow.
a publishing company that that a couple of musicians were running for him, and I just met so many people and had just a great experience down there. And wouldn't you know it, almost 20 years later, we end up doing shows together, myself and Larry. It just goes to show, and I really tell people in the music business, you know, open every door. You know, because you just never know, maybe a door that you opened 20 years ago could come back, you know, 20 years later, of which happened with Larry Gantlin, you know. So,
he was one of my favorites.
And I have great admiration for him. He's always reinventing himself, and you'll constantly see him on television, a lot on the Fox Network. He's writing plays, he's still writing songs, and he's still touring extensively with his brothers. So, you know, I just love people like that in the music business. They just they do it out of the pure love of it, you know.
Right. And so, you know, you're world-renowned. You have worked on television, and you're well-known across the United States, and yet you come across as a really humble, down-to-earth guy. And yet, you have managed to associate yourself with some great legendary singers and musicians, such as one of my all-time favorite female singers. I used to sing her songs when I was a young girl, Crystal Gayle. Then you've got, you know, as you mentioned before, legendary artist Larry Gatlin, Ronan Tynan.
I will say one thing, you know, as these big stars that I've had the opportunity of working with, like Crystal Gayle, just wonderful people, you know, great people. I mean, they're there because of the talent, but they're also in where they are because they're good people, you know. And we really enjoyed working together. We did 18 shows together throughout the U.S., a show that I produced called American Voices, and, of course, recorded together, too. And, you know, I just had a great experience working with her. She's just a sweetheart, a lovely, lovely lady, you know.
With a beautiful voice. And does she still have her hair down to there? Like, she has this long
hair
that she used to ensure with Lloyds of London.
When she sings, you know it's Crystal Gayle.
Yeah, and is she still singing Somebody Loves You and Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue? And, oh, my gosh, she just did so many beautiful songs.
Talking in Your Sleep. Yeah, she had lots of hits. She was one of the first country crossover artists, to make it into the pop world back in the late 70s. You know, she had a lot of hits on the mainstream pop charts, you know, coming out of the country music world.
And then
for a lot of artists.
And the song that you did with her in one of your recent albums is just so beautiful, that duet.
Yes, I have to tell you about that song. It was written by a friend of mine named Nick McCarthy from Banshee in County Tipperary in Ireland. He's a wonderful writer, writes great, great songs. And that was a song he gave me about, I want to say, almost 20 years ago.
My goodness.
And I always heard it as a duet, and I just never recorded it, because usually when I'm putting an album together or whatever, I go through all the songs I've collected over the years. You know, I never throw anything out. I'm always, when I'm working on a new album, I'll revisit stuff that I, you know, that somebody might have sent me or whatever.
Right.
And that was one of those that I revisited, and then when the Crystal Gayle opportunity came up, I sent it to her, and she just loved it. And so it's a beautiful Irish song, written by an Irish artist, Nick McCarthy. about two friends that have not seen each other in a long time. And
yeah.
I really think it just came out perfect.
It's beautiful. I've been playing it over and over and over again. It's that beautiful. And I love your voice. You have this magnificent voice. It's so versatile. You can do just about anything. I could see you doing the classical, which you've probably trained in that, the pop, even the jazz. I see you in the country. You have this amazing voice. So when I heard you both sing that song, I just couldn't stop playing it because I had just been introduced to your music. And I thought, what a marvelous tenor, Andy Cooney. And I'm like, where have I been that I haven't heard this amazing singer? And then I hear you paired off with Crystal Gayle, and I felt, okay, I know him. And I like him. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful song. Two of you together, just marvelous in it.
Probably tell your listeners the name of the song. It's called
Yes, Please.
You Are Never Too Far From My Mind. And you can download it from iTunes, you know, or you can go to my website, too, andycooney.com, and if you want to get a hard copy of it.
Okay, and they can find it on iTunes, you said, right?
Yes, they
iTunes.
Can.
Okay.
And Andy Cooney, Crystal Gayle.
Great.
Yeah, for sure.
And what about, let me ask you, Ronan Tynan, Brian Byrne, the RTD?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, Ronan is the one of the Irish tenors. Mm-hmm. And but he's kind of the one that kind of really stuck out during 9/11. You know, he's
right.
an incredible story. He's a double amputee. So not only a great singer, he's a wonderful story. Of a guy that has overcome so much and has given so much, you know, of himself and just a great, great entertainer, wonderful entertainer. And I have the opportunity of working with him a couple of times a year.
That's such a blessing to be able to work with such wonderful, like-minded people because you all seem to mesh so well together.
Well, thank you. I wouldn't say we meshed well together all the time, but me and Ronan are like brothers.
Well, we like the feeling that we get when we see you together. So I guess that works.
We have a big concert coming up. It will be August the 6th out in Long Island at John J. Burns Park. It usually draws about 15,000 people to it, and that will be the next time myself and Ronan will be together. So
that's fabulous.
Put that on the old calendar.
Definitely. We will certainly have it on ours. You went on to sing with RTE, the concert orchestra, Seamus Brett, Joni Madden, Seamus Egan, Eileen Ivers, Des Moore. I just have to read out these names because I'm a complete awe. The world famous Phil Coulter, the Oak Ridge Boys, one of my all-time favorite gospel singing group, the Statlers, Charlie Daniels, and then now, of late, you've been singing and recording with Michael Amanti and Daniel Rodriguez. You're very busy, Nandy.
Yes.
Really?
This is another idea that I had. You know, I love working with people, and I love coming up with ideas and ways to work with people. Like when I worked with Larry Gantlin and Crystal Gayle, the show with American Voices, of which we all told our American stories in that show. Larry Gantlin being the proud Texan and Crystal Gayle being a coal miner's daughter from Butcher Hollow, Kentucky. And of course, me being a New York Irish with the story of immigration in Ellis Island and all those things that, you know, that is my American story. So then when I come up with the New York tenors, I had these two gentlemen in mind that I had never met before or spoken to before, but I, of course, knew who they were. And I said, well, I'm kind of well-known in the Irish-American community, and Michael Amanti is well-known in the Italian-American community. And, of course, Daniel Rodriguez, well-known in the Puerto Rican community, but beyond, because he's an American icon, you know, from 9/11, where his God Bless America just, what can I say, helped heal a nation, you know, from that tragic time. It was kind of the start of the healing period, if you will.
Yes.
So I approached them both with the idea, and they both loved it, and we've done about 15, 16 shows together. They've all been well-received. We'll be back in Carnegie Hall. We played Carnegie Hall last December and sold it out. We did it for the Brooklyn Diocese, Catholic Diocese, and they raised $1.2 million on our performance.
Wow.
that night.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So they invited us back again. December 4th, we'll be back at Carnegie Hall. So we encourage people to check that show out. It is a great, great show. These are great, great artists, Daniel Rodriguez and Michael Amante. And the tickets go on sale. The tickets go on sale on August 5th. So at the Carnegie Hall box office. So I encourage everybody, definitely. It's a great, great family event.
Okay.
So definitely we'll get you in the Christmas spirit for sure. So
I would love that. Andy, would you have a song that you'd like to introduce to the public and tell us a little bit about it?
A song that I'd like to introduce? Well, I am working on a new album at the moment that I'm very excited about, and it's not ready yet. But I am very excited about this new album, and it's being produced by a man named Phil Coulter, who you mentioned before.
Right.
And Phil Coulter is a very well-known producer in the Irish music world. He did some stuff in pop music back in the 80s. He had produced and written all the songs for the Bay City Rollers. Maybe people might remember that group from the 80s.
Yes.
Saturday Night was one of their big hits. And
yes,
Phil had written that and had worked with Clive Davis and worked with a lot of people here, but went back to Ireland and became well known on the piano, his beautiful piano playing and orchestra arrangements of beautiful Celtic and Irish melodies, which brought his name as a performer to fame. And his latest success is Celtic Thunder. You might have seen that on PBS.
That
was his latest success. He had produced and written most of the songs for that production. And so I'm so honored that we're doing an album together. We actually should be out by October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of great, great new stuff on it. One song that he did write, which will probably be the name of the album, the song is called Bright Brand New Day. And he wrote this song inspired by a song that he had written 30 years ago called The Town I Love So Well, all about the troubles in Northern Ireland and just people trying to live within the troubles and trying to deal with Ireland back in the 70s and 80s and very trying times, a great struggle there for many, many people. But in these past 15 years, there has been peace in Northern Ireland. Thanks be to God. And people are starting to live together. People are starting to move on. And he wrote a song in tribute to the peace that's going on that started 15 years ago by President Clinton and Senator Mitchell, George Mitchell, called the Good Friday Agreement, which is which went into place 15 years ago. And so Ireland has really come a long way, especially Northern Ireland. And he wrote this song in honor of this bright, brand new day that they're all living there. Another track that he wrote on it was a song called Noreen. And the melody was first played at Liam Neeson's wedding. He had written it for Liam and Natasha for their wedding back in 1994.
And she's the young lady that lost her life not too long ago in an accident.
Lost her life about 3 years ago.
Oh.
And just recently, Phil had put some beautiful lyrics to it.
Right.
About you losing the love of your life. And it's just heart-wrenching.
Oh.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And so I'm recording that as well. These are all brand-new releases.
I cannot wait to hear that because you made me cry in the song A Woman Like That. I was just bawling. I was sitting here just listening to it. Over and over again.
That was a cut that was produced by Gatlin Brothers Music, Larry Gatlin's music company, way back when. And that is on that recording, my definitive collection, that's a recording that was never released until I put that album out. That was recorded back in 1997. I thought I was going to get my big Nashville record deal, and it just didn't happen. The recording went nowhere. And I said, you know what, this is one of my favorite recordings. I'm going to put it on this album.
And
rightfully I'm so happy
so
you mentioned it.
Rightfully so, because it's a beautiful song. I don't think I've ever heard such a beautiful rendition of it. Just beautiful.
Yeah, it really is a gorgeous tune. But anyway, but look out for the Phil Coulter release for sure.
Definitely.
I'm really looking forward to it. We're playing Carnegie Hall in March together. I'll be doing a concert in Dublin with him in December at the National Concert Hall. It's not come through yet, but it looks like it's going to happen. So, so lots of exciting things coming up.
We've been talking about Phil Coulter and his wonderful music and Larry Gatlin and Crystal Gayle and all of those wonderful folks. Would you let me spin one of your songs right now?
Pick one. Which is your favorite? Which one do you like?
Well, I love, right now, I'm in love with A Woman Like That.
Well, play it.
Okay, so I'm going to play that. Can you explain a little bit about why you chose to record that song?
You know, I have to tell you, it's a song that when I was with Gatlin Brothers Music, it was owned by their publishing company, and they were trying to do something for me as an artist, and they let me hear that song, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it, and I went and recorded it, and I thought I was going to get a big major record deal out of it. I sat right there at the table with Warner Brothers and Sony, and it was looking like I was going to get a deal, and it just didn't happen. I still think the song is a hit, and I have it out there now on my CD, but you never know. Maybe somebody in Nashville, maybe one of the young bucks down there will pick up that song and make it a mega hit, you know?
It's wonderful.
She'll believe when all your faith is gone. She'll dream your dreams and make your house a home. When you're weak, she'll hold you up, cover you with her true love. If a woman like that comes along, hold on, hold on. If a woman like that comes along, hold on, hold on. A woman like that loved me once, but now she's gone. I had a good thing, try to leave. When the road is dark, she'll be the light you need. One like her is hard to find. How could I be so blind? If a woman like that comes along, hold on, hold on.
Me one.
So we're back. It was wonderful, Andy. I love the song. I'm going to listen to it again this evening. Actually, I'm going to listen to all your music again this evening.
I'm so happy I included that on that album, you know, because it is it really is a gorgeous tune. Strikes a chord. It really does.
It really does. And it's just, you know, it's very rare to hear a man pour himself out like that in a song. You know, just put his heart out there. And I think it's going to be a favorite with the ladies.
Oh, well, thank you.
I was going to
say, it's amazing what people will do for money. Not at all. Like I said, you know, I always look for songs when I'm recording. I look for songs with deep meaning.
Okay, but let me clarify. You didn't pay me for saying that.
Huh?
You didn't pay me for saying that. I really do mean it.
No, thank you, Carmen. I mean that, you know, it's nice to sing songs, but it's great to sing songs with great lyrics, you know.
Mm.
So, you know, you can really get into it, you know.
Can you talk about that one defining moment when you knew you wanted to be a musician?
Oh, wow. Defining moment. You know what? I really can't, because I have been playing the piano since I'm about 5 years old. You know, so I have to say, even all the way through grammar school into high school, it's all I ever wanted to do.
Right.
I can't think of one moment saying to myself. No, I just had a lot of inspirations from some artists, you know, back in the early 70s when I was really, really young. You know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Remember Andy Williams had a variety show on?
Oh, yes.
And
Dean
Martin, and all of those great artists back in the early 70s. That
right.
was my first exposure to great entertainers, you know,
right.
and great singers, great artists. And I just always wanted to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. What challenges have you had to face in your chosen career?
The music business, and just for anybody out there that's pursuing it, it's always a challenge, and it's always a struggle. It always is. Even after artists are successful, maybe financially or whatever, maybe they made a lot of money, everybody wants to stay in the game, you know? And then, of course, you have the musicians that are so talented that just don't get the breaks, but they continue to persevere, and I've been very, very blessed. I've been through the struggles and challenges, and I have a wife and 2 kids and a family, and we've had the hard times, you know, when
right.
the money wasn't great, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we found our way through it. When I got married 19 years ago, my mm-hmm. wife had a steady job in Manhattan, and I was only starting out pretty much on my own in the music business after leaving Patty Noonan, after being with him for 8 years. I was going on my own, and she was the one that was making the money.
Mm-hmm.
And she believed in me. And mm-hmm. our first child came along, and she said, "Well, I'm done working. It's up to you now. You're going to have to make this music thing work." And so I found a way to do it. And so there's no road. There's a road, of course, but there's no rules. There's no book you can read, and you do all of these things, and you'll be successful in the music business. Everybody has their own journey.
Right.
And, you know, that's really what's great about it. You hear so many great, great stories, so many great success stories in the music business.
What was the most embarrassing situation that you can say you had as a singer?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. The most embarrassing situation I've ever had. Oh, I have the one embarrassing situation. I was playing at Westbury Music Fair in New York, 3,000-seater, about 10 years ago. And I came out on stage, and guess what? My fly was open.
Oh, no.
Through about 4 songs, my wife came up to the edge of the stage, and she said, "Come here. It's your fly is open."
Said, oh. Oh, my goodness.
So 3,000 people got quite a show for those first songs.
Become more than their money's worth.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely the most embarrassing red face turning situations I've ever had, so.
What is the title of your new album? I know you have a new album now. Can you share that with us?
Well, my latest release is called On Irish Time. It's just some good, lively, feel-good Irish music on there. That's my latest one out. But the new album coming out is called Bright Brand New Day, and we hope to have it out. Well, that's the album produced by Phil Coulter. We're hoping for October 1st for it to be released of this year.
That's wonderful. As a tenor, do you enjoy singing pop or classical more?
You know, I love singing all kinds of stuff. I really do. The classical thing is a kind of a new thing for me. Started about maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I was first asked to play Carnegie Hall back in 2008. I was asked about a year before that in 2007 to be a part of that performance. And I was kind of more of a folk pop, you know, folk pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to be singing with a symphony orchestra at Carnegie, and I knew that the way I sang, I would have a very difficult time to sing over the orchestra. So I went into intense vocal training to learn how to do it. And I worked really hard that entire year, 3-4 lessons a week in some cases. And I learned how to do it. And now that I know how to sing more classically and going for, you know, the big high tenor notes, I have to say it's opened up a whole new world for me. Oh, I am really, really enjoying it. And I'm
That's
starting
wonderful.
To now appreciate, you know, classical artists a lot more now that I'm more educated on, you know, what they had to go through and their training.
For the folks out there who are not classically trained, can you explain what singing over the orchestra is?
Well, you know, I mean, most pop artists and country artists, folk artists, you know, can just have a microphone there nice and close to their mouth and sing, you know, and sing in a very relaxed manner.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really have to push too hard. But when you're singing in Carnegie Hall and you have the orchestra and you have a microphone that's a foot away from you, you have to sing with a whole different power. You need that power in your vocals behind it. So you learn how to breathe. You learn how to support your voice. You learn how to compress to where you can get the volume out of your voice and the body in your voice. So it was quite a process to learn how to do it, and I was very lucky to learn how to do it within a year. I had taken training over the years, but not as intense as I went into in the year of 2008.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was just one paragraph of Andy Cooney's Vocal Coaching 101. You can reach him at www.andycooney.com for vocal classes.
Maybe I'll start giving
lessons
now when I'm not sleeping.
I think that you really did not need the coaching, I'm sure. I think that everybody sort of it does it anyway. I think a lot of singers coach for different things, even when they've had, especially professional singers, opera singers
you know,
as well.
You realize, you know, a lot of the one thing you need to have is you need to have the gift.
Right.
You need to, you know, the God-given gift of a great instrument. The voice is an instrument. And if you have the gift of having that without taking singing lessons, great, you can sing. But once you learn about the voice and you learn what it's capable of doing from training, it opens up a whole new world. Let's put it this way. In 2008, 2007, I could not hit a high C like a real tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Today I can. But I didn't think I could in 2007. I didn't think I had that voice. So there are things that you can learn to do, you know, with your natural instrument that you have in your body. To take it from the place of just opening your mouth and singing to actually, what can I say, trying to get the most out of it, you know.
Yeah. So, Andy, can you introduce this next song to us and tell us a little bit about why you recorded it and what it means to you?
One song that I fell in love with, and it's kind of my American story in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's this song called Giant Land.
Okay.
And it takes us back to the famine days in Ireland where, you know, people were starving. And also at that time, England had come over and kind of conquered Ireland and threw all the people off the land. And then these people had to come back in nearly as slaves to just to have a roof over their heads and plow the fields and do everything, all this type of work.
Right.
So the Irish went through a very similar situation to what the blacks went through here back in the 1800s and when they came over here, you know, in that they were in some type of form of slavery in a way. Not that they were forced to stay where they were, but they were only given pittance and, they were thrown off their land, and then they ended up coming back to their land but having to serve a landlord. So it was a different situation there at that time. And of course, the potato crop failed, and a lot of people immigrated to America, left the island because they couldn't survive there. People were dying in the streets there at that time in the 1850s and 60s in Ireland. So it's all about this family that this happened to. And two brothers immigrate to America. And then, of course, generations later, they venture back to trace their roots. Mm-hmm. So that is what this great song, Giant Land, is about.
It sounds like it's going to be a very touching kind of a story.
It is. And I should mention, too, it was written by the legendary Roger Whittaker. He had written this song. And actually, it's a beautiful recording of it. I just fell in love with it. So I just had to record it. And I recorded it in Ireland with the RT Concert Orchestra.
Wonderful. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here is Andy Cooney singing Giant Land by Roger Whittaker.
I was born Liam Rafferty O'Brien in the year of 1833. The last of nine my mother gave her love to, especially me. When I was 12, the sickness came to Ireland. All the land, once green, turned dark and brown. I lost my ma and all my darling sisters, leaving me and Sean and Pa to run the farm. So on and on, the sickness seemed to linger, killing half the people in its stride. Even Pa, who seemed to be immortal, took sick and died. So I said, Sean, we'll have to leave this island and find a land that's young and strong and free. I know of one where we could make our fortune across the sea. So Sean and me and several hundred others took ship from Cove one cold November day, leaving all that we had ever cared for buried deep beneath the soil behind the bay. Found that land where wonders never cease, a giant land where decent men can live in peace. We found the hope, we found the strength to carry on. But God forgive ungrateful hearts, in my soul I'll always be the son of an Irishman. Find the stones that mark the time. time in history when all my kin took sick and passed away. I came to find the place where Liam left them, buried deep beneath the soil behind the bay. They found that land where wonders never cease, a giant land where decent men can live in peace. They found the hope, they found the strength to carry on. But God forgive ungrateful hearts, in my soul I'll always be the son of an Irishman. God forgive ungrateful hearts, in my soul I'll always be the son of an Irishman.
Back. Thank you for playing that song for us. I really enjoyed it, Andy.
Yeah,
thank
it
you.
Is powerful, especially the end. It really, really builds up, and the orchestra builds up, and the lyrics build up. It's just, it's
now,
just tremendous.
Did you do that after the vocal lessons, or was that way before you?
Oh, that would have been okay. That would have been around the time, right
I'd
around
like to sit
the 2008-2009 period when my mm-hmm. voice was just starting to come together.
I would love to sit down and listen.
More of that that genre mm-hmm. of music, you know, more power singing, if you will.
It's wonderful. Thank you for sharing it. Do you prefer to sing before a live audience more, or do you enjoy the recording studio more?
Oh, this reminds me of a great little story of the great Bob Hope, the great comedian. And he had befriended a Catholic bishop out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the bishop at Bob Hope's eulogy, when he had passed away, had said he was out fishing with Bob and asked Bob how he was enjoying the fishing trip. And Bob Hope said, "Fish don't applaud." So to answer your question, I love being in front of a live audience. That
yeah.
would be my first choice. The studio was great, but you know what? The audience is the one that gives me the drive.
So true. You get that adrenaline flow from the audience.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can. I don't care what anybody says, you can feel the audience, you know.
I think all of us singers have a bit of a psychosis. We need that approval. We need to feed on that, the high that we get from that applause, huh?
Oh, yes. Oh, of course, you know. I've worked in so many different situations in my career, starting out as a piano player in New York. Then working in a traditional Irish band, singing a lot of the Irish sing-alongs and favorites, working on cruise ships, working in an audience-pleasing situation where you're trying to get the audience to participate. And so that's kind of what I really love to do. You know, I love to get the audience into what we're doing.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I look around and I see almost everywhere I go in Brooklyn, I see an Andy Cooney banner about an Irish cruise. We were at, I forget the name of that wonderful beef restaurant where they sell Brennan and Carr about 3 weeks ago. And I saw your poster there.
Are you kidding? Oh, wow.
Yeah, your poster, it's right, you know, when you walk into the little entrance, it's right up in the front of the establishment just as you
well,
walk
I'm gonna
in.
Well, I'm going to have to stop in there.
Yeah, seriously. And you know about Brennan and Carr. Of course you know about Brennan and Carr.
Brennan and Carr. Now, where is that?
Brennan and Carr is...
I've heard of it. Whereabouts is it?
Okay. It is... It's somewhere in Brooklyn.
Is it in Bay Ridge?
It's not in Bay Ridge. Let me... Actually, while I have you on, I have a couple of minutes to do a search on it because... We were really impressed to see your banner there. And I said to my husband, I said, "That's Andy Cooney. That's the gentleman I'm going to be interviewing in a couple of weeks." And he was very floored by it. I was like, wow. You know.
What could have happened there is that somebody was at one of my shows and grabbed the flyer.
Probably.
And possibly is coming with us on one of those cruises and just wanted to spread the word.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I have to say one thing. I have got great fans, and they are so supportive.
I could see that.
They are so supportive. Some of them have been with me since day one. And, you know, the first time I played Carnegie Hall back in 2008, I remember looking out in the audience and I said, you know, I know half the place here, looking out at all the faces. Because I've had a different journey. I wasn't the type of artist that had a big hit record and then instantly was, you know, famous, you know.
Right.
I had a road, I had a journey that I traveled. I worked the clubs. I did everything, and I made my fans one at a time.
Right.
Over all these years. So, these are the kind of fans we have. You know,
yeah.
They've been with me since day one. They've been so supportive of what I do, and that's been my journey. You know, so it doesn't surprise me to hear that possibly somebody took the time to hang one of my cruise posters
and,
up.
And, you know, Brennan Carr was, I think, a turn-of-the-century tavern that became a little restaurant. And they have a very big history. They're world-famous now. People come from all over just to go have a roast beef sandwich there. And they're located at 3432 Nostrand Avenue between Avenue V and Gravesend Neck Road in Brooklyn.
Near the Flatbush area.
Yes, it's near the Flatbush area. And they make the most wonderful roast beef platters. And sandwiches that
I know where they are too.
Oh.
I know exactly where they are. Sure.
Yeah, so that's where I saw your poster.
That I actually started out in many, many years ago, back in the 80s, when I was only starting out in the music business, called Buckley's on Avenue S in Nostrand Avenue.
So
I'm quite familiar with the area.
Wow. Yeah, so it was wonderful to walk in there and see your poster, and I thought, wow, you know, Andy Cooney really gets around. He's a well-known guy. I'm a very lucky girl to secure an interview. Come again?
I said all my fans get around.
We certainly do.
I put my fans to work. That's what I did. I put them to work.
We certainly do. I have a lot to be thankful for. Had it not been because I was listening to this one other tenor, Daniel Rodriguez, I would not have met one of his fans, a wonderful young lady who introduced me to your music. So that was how I came to know about Andy Cooney.
Isn't that something? Well, Daniel is now a great pal of mine. And as I mentioned before, these are Daniel and Michael were two people I didn't know them. I'd never met them before. I never worked with them before.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it would be. Oh, there's. We don't have to take that call now. you know, it came to know them through the New York Tenors, and we've become almost brothers.
Right, and I could see that. And the chemistry is beautiful, not just in the sound, but also in the way that I've observed that you gentlemen carry on and seem to really get along with each other.
Well, that's
on stage
a record you'll have to play. You'll have to play the New York Tenors there.
Oh, definitely. Would you like me to play that now?
I think that would be awesome. What a great, great song that we recorded together called I Won't Turn My Back on You.
Oh, I love that.
A song written by my drummer in my band named Jimmy Kelly, along with a great friend of ours from Ireland named Carl Corcoran. And when I heard the lyrics first, I just thought it was perfect for all first responders, like police and firefighters and our military, people that serve and protect us, but also serve and protect each other. So as you listen through the lyrics of this this great song recorded by myself, along with Daniel Rodriguez and Michael Amante, the New York Tenors, I Won't Turn My Back on You.
When there's a prayer to be answered and all you feel is hurt,
I will lend you a shoulder, I will lend a helping hand.
No, I won't turn my back on you.
When your world has been shattered in pieces on the ground,
when your spirit has been broken and a friend just can't be found,
I can offer you
thank you so much. I love that song. And
you're welcome. It is powerful. I have to tell you, we had the honor of performing that at the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Really?
On the Tunnel to Towers run.
Mm-hmm.
That was held in New York City late September on the 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Sinise had put the show together, Remembrance Concert together, at the end of the Tunnel to Towers run. And we were invited to be a part of that. And it was truly an honor to be there with all of these great dignitaries like Mayor Giuliani and people that just meant so much to us at 9/11 and did
wow.
so much for us. For those that aren't familiar with Tunnel to Towers, it's a foundation in honor of firefighter Stephen Siller from Brooklyn. Upon hearing the first plane hitting the Twin Towers, grabbed his fire equipment and ran through the battery tunnel, only to perish at the Twin Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And every year there's a 5K run in his name. And that year, over 40,000 people or 50,000 people participated. And for the New York Tenors to be a part of that was truly an honor.
So you guys really do some amazing work with your talents. You really
support. We've been very, very blessed. Daniel Rodriguez is actually a regular on the Crystal Cathedral out in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
Which is shown on Cablevision. It's actually shown worldwide. On Sundays, and got the New York Tenors out there to perform there. So, we've been to some great, great places, and I hope we're doing some good anyway out there. So,
I'm sure you are.
The next time the New York Tenors will be appearing together will be Carnegie Hall on
wow.
December the 4th of this year.
Oh, I'm not going to miss that.
For the Brooklyn Dome.
You know, my husband and I and mm-hmm. some other friends will be there. Nothing like getting into the Christmas spirit early in the month.
Oh,
sure, yeah.
Need
it.
Oh, definitely.
We really do need
sure.
it. What do you see yourself doing if you ever retire?
I will never retire.
Okay. So they're going to have to carry you out of a place with the mic in your hand?
I'll sing as long as they want to hear me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever retire. Like I said, I don't know how to sit down and relax and read a book.
I know.
It's just not me. I just,
you're
know.
A true artist. You need it. It's in your blood.
I know. I just love it too much. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't do what I do.
I don't blame you. I love singing myself, even though I don't do it that often. But it when it's in your blood, it's in your blood. And I can see that you have a need for it. And I sure hope you don't retire. We can't have that right now, because you still have many, many more people to inspire. If I were to turn on your MP3 player, what music would I find there?
Wow. On my MP3, on my iPhone, there is such a wide variety of stuff. Such a wide variety of stuff.
What is the wildest thing that's on your MP3 player?
Oh, my God, the wildest thing.
Yeah.
I would say, believe it or not, my son Ryan has been at my, he was, when he first went on the iTunes and started downloading
mm-hmm.
music to my account,
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff that he's downloaded, some of the rap stuff, they couldn't even tell you. People will go through my iTunes and say, Andy, wow, didn't know you went to that.
Yeah, same here. Now, who is your favorite tenor and why? And I'm sure you probably get asked that all the time.
My favorite tenor? Oh, my God. I would have to say, and I'm not just saying this because I work with him, but I think Daniel Rodriguez has got one of the most beautiful, beautiful instruments, one of the most beautiful voices I've heard. I hope he's not listening to this interview.
He is going to probably hear it, though. I agree with you on that. He has such a marvelous tenor voice. He really does. Great,
yeah, and
great
he's a good,
voice.
He's a good friend as well. But I don't say that because he's my friend. I mean, I was touched like so many at 9/11 by him. And of course, when we just began starting to work together, I went through all of his YouTube things and listened through his recordings and got to know his story. And, he's somebody I admire very, very much. He's and just a beautiful, beautiful singer.
Especially love the song On Eagle's Wings.
Oh,
that
wow.
Song,
oh, the
so
the hymn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's such
beautiful,
a beautiful,
beautiful song.
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful
song.
Hymn.
based on your experience, do you find that you sing better as you've matured? You know, I know you were talking about coaching before and all that, but
I would say absolutely. You know, it's that's for me. You know, because you hear great singers like Whitney Houston and whatever. Unfortunately, they went through some abuses to themselves, self-inflicted things, unfortunately. Which ended up hurting them as an artist and hurting their instrument. But as for me, I've been very, very lucky. I feel today I'm singing better than I ever sang, you know. But it's been a journey for me, you know, a journey of learning about my voice and what I can do and what I can sing and what I can't sing. And so I would say definitely. I think I'm a much better singer now than I was 10 years ago.
Right. I think people mellow out and they get better with age, too, in many ways. I think you get more relaxed in life, and I think that also plays a very significant role in the quality of your singing, too.
I would agree with that, definitely, you know.
Yeah. So the next song that I would love to introduce, can you share a little bit about that? Can you give us the title, if you have one?
I would say we should liven it up here a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that.
And this is a song written by a gentleman named Carl Corcoran, who was a co-writer on the last song you played, I Won't Turn My Back on You. It's a lively song called Dancing the Dublin Reel.
A maiden there, she has long black hair and her eyes like the darkest coal. A taunting smile that would sure beguile and melt the hardest soul. Dancing lightly, sprightly, she stole his heart with a twirl. That girl he'll not forget. The night they met in a dance called the Dublin Reel. They walked out to a starry night and the crescent moon had a glow. It felt so right, with hands held tight as they looked on the town below. Chancing a kissy Mr. Cheek as she pulled away to sway to the bower on the sound on the fairy mound as they danced to the Dublin Reel. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. Dark of night turned into light, and he asked her what was her name. Matters not was all he got, as on the grass they lay. Listening to stories, glory seemed of another world. This girl she must have left while she soundly slept, having danced to the Dublin Reel. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. They were dancing all till the break of dawn. Goes on, now he's back on American shores. Every night he relits the sight and he longs for a more and more. Under his spell he fell in love with a dancing queen, it seems. His only care is the maiden fair in a dance called the Dublin Reel. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. They were dancing all night long, dancing till the break of dawn. They were dancing all night long, dancing.
Thank you, Andy. I loved the Dublin Reel, the dancing, the Dublin Reel. That song really made me want to get up and get out to get some top shoes and do something with it.
Oh, we had to liven it up there.
Thank you. Wow. I almost really seriously got up and danced. Where can people find you performing, and how can they reach you? Like, let's say on a week-by-week basis.
I would say the best thing to do is they can follow me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And also my website, andycooney.com, which would be the best thing to do.
Wonderful. Andy, thank you so much for being on the New York Podcasting Cafe, and I hope you come back again to share some new projects and, you know, productions with us and anything that you're doing.
Well, thanks, Carmen. I really appreciate it, and we're out on the internet waves right now, and I'd like to thank all your listeners. And I think you do a great job, Carmen. Keep doing what you're doing. It's wonderful,
you
know, how you're, you know, getting the word out there on musicians and artists and songwriters, and continue what you're doing.
Thank you, Andy. I'm glad you joined us, and I cannot wait for the next interview.
Okay, thank you, Carmen.
Take care. Bye bye.
You have been listening to an interview with Andy Cooney. For more information about Andy's music CDs or his Irish Star Caribbean cruises or any other activities, please visit www.andycooney.com or check him out on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in.